DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble up a dub dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
I'm Danny. I don't read messages.
I was trying to let my iPod have a full charge, you jerks.
All I'm hearing is excuses.
Yeah,
we don't like those.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I'm back.
Okay. I'm so thrilled.
Danny and Samantha, and they're just so thrilled.
So pretty.
But we don't have Big Jim, sadly.
Boo.
Well, before we get started, big news. We're going to have a television star next week joining us.
What?
Yes. I landed a huge get. You may have heard of him. You may not have. Mr. David Mort.
Yeah. I knew where you were going with that.
Yeah, of course you did.
I was like, TV star? James don't know fucking nobody. Oh, wait.
Well, actually, I'm finding I actually know more and more TV stars. Summer Shore, who plays Kate, is a TV star. Miss Susie Smith, who plays Mrs. Potter. Huge TV star.
Nice.
I know a lot of TV stars, so me.
Yay! Well, good for you.
So how are you guys?
My.
I'm just getting a thumbs up from Samantha. You are so bored.
Yeah. No, we're good, actually. Today, some of my hardware finally came in for my guitar. So I'm getting my ferrules for my BC Rich put in today. Also, I did my glue up for my ukulele, which I had the internet decide what the design was going to be. And my glue up is now setting and ready to go. Once that's done, I'm going to paint it, and then I'm going to do its design. And yeah, that'll be another project in the can.
Did they name it Yuki McUkeface?
No.
Nobody makes thank you, Samantha, for getting that.
I know where you. I know where that came from.
Yeah, no Bodie McBoat face. At this rate, I've tried to go with a like Swedish Norwegian art style called Rosmaling. And if you ever watch the movie Midsummer, they do a lot of it. It's kind of like the artwork that's on the buildings and on their tapestries and stuff like that. So I tried to utilize that for this ukulele because, let's face it, everybody's done like the Maui and Hawaiian style and things like that, the Pacific Islanders essentially. And I wanted to go completely fucking different. So I did. There you have it.
Nice. Nice. Sorry, I'm sending emails and stuff because I'm still at work.
What a jerk.
I know.
I was originally supposed to be in a monologue show tonight. For Mother's Day, it was the Momologues or Motherlogs. But the show got canceled, of course, because of COVID-19. So initially I'd taken the day off because I don't like to be somewhere all day then have a show that night. Like if I am going to be in a show, I need the day. Like,
yeah, you got to get in the headspace and all. Yeah, yes. That makes sense.
Apparently I'm that kind of performer, I have learned.
Don't look her in the eye.
No, just leave me alone.
No eye contact.
I am Beyonce.
It cannot work like this. I will be in my trailer
all day.
But I took the day off, and we found out like that it's going to be rescheduled. I mean, we knew it was going to be canceled. They held on for hope, you know, for dear hope, for a very long time. So they held out as long as they could. But they're like, no, we have to cancel and then reschedule. So I just kept the day off because why not? My job fuck sucks. Yeah. And I'm so bored with it. And I took the day off. So I was working on I opened up Radio Hour's new merch shop. Got all that stuff done.
Which you sent us some of the designs, and they're awesome.
They are awesome. I will say, still a little salty that there's no zip up hoodie, but whatever. It's cool.
Well, that's not my choice.
That's what they offered, dude.
The website. The website and some of their designs is still in beta mode. Their t-shirts and a...
Hey, Danny, can you pan your camera just a little bit? I see a GIF that I gave you on the wall, and it looks awesome.
Yeah, buddy. My Captain America shield.
I love
it. 1-to-1 ratio. Sexy.
Well, you've got the coat, so you just need the pants and the helmet. And I think I might have found the helmet for you.
Nice. I had like a half face mask that I bought from like Target a long time ago that kind of works, not really, but you know, whatever, it's cool. But yeah, now you get to see, you know, the top of my wonderful desk for anybody actually watching this meeting. Get to see all my cool ass.
No one's watching this. They're only going to be listening.
Well, fuck. I don't even know why I did my hair then.
I know, me too.
Yeah, that was a lie. This is my morning glory, bitches. I don't even care. But yeah, no, good times to be had. Got to hang out with my boys yesterday and did some talking about some stuff and some things.
And that was fun.
It was fun. I always enjoy that shit. That's why Travis and I call it church.
It kind of is. Mm-hmm. And especially in this day and age where it's like, just actually this whole last weekend has been one of the funnest I've had throughout this whole isolation garbage thing. It was so nice seeing everyone and getting some work done and then hanging with you and Travis yesterday BSing all day. It was so much fun.
Yep.
And celebrated my wife's birthday.
Yeah, and how well did you do on the birthday day for the ladies?
Oh, I always do good because in our house, we celebrate for a whole week.
Nice.
Yeah, so. Because I just like to party.
Well, fuck, there ain't nothing wrong with that, buddy. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Samantha, can I ask you about a picture you posted recently?
Oh, God. What?
So it's a fantastic photo of you and Ryan. Why does Ryan look so angry?
He always does. That's just sort of his shtick in pictures. Like even if you look at our cruise pictures, half of them he's just like, you know, like he's got his grump face. He hates having his picture taken, and he deals with it because I don't make him do them often. But every now and then, I'm like, we're taking a damn picture. So. Yeah, he was sitting on the couch and sitting forward, and we have an ottoman, like a cushy ottoman, and usually a dog is in our laps, and I came downstairs. We had a show on Saturday, a live stream show, so I was upstairs all day, and he was down here, and I was like, there's no dog! So I ran, and I jumped on the cushion, and I just leaned up against him, and he was like, oh, okay, this is happening. I was like, yep. And then I took a selfie of us because that was cute. And then
it really is. I'm looking at it right now. You just look so happy and content. He's just like, I'm being here against my will. Someone help me.
I know. He's got such a grump face. But he's the nicest guy. He's such a teddy bear.
It's also really interesting to me that as much as you hate gingers, you're with a ginger.
I know. It only makes sense that I would end up with one.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't hate gingers. I just, you know.
Think they're fucking weird?
No. I just hated the one because he was an ass.
I also want to talk, and I think you guys talked about it last week. I listened to the show, but I can't remember if you guys, you might have touched on it. But I can't remember if you talked about it. The opinion articles.
We did not talk about it.
Good. Then we can talk about it because I went through it and you are 100% right. And your friend is right as well. You really do have some dumb Facebook friends.
Oh God. She posted that, and then, like, if you see, I posted the gif of Homer just going back into the branches, like, because they're all adults. If they want to argue that, then that's fine. I'm not going to confirm nor deny the stupidity or intelligence of my friends.
You know better.
It is Facebook, so people want, no one engaged with her on there because Courtney likes to pick fights.
Well, I'm gonna the very first one kind of got my dander up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the very, very political way you handled it. But it was the guy that said, that's not always true. Newspaper mm-hmm. columns are often a writer's opinion. Oh, columns. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, they're opinion columns, but then he goes on to say that, that, you know, but usually they look up facts and stuff like that. I'm like, yes, but that is an informed opinion. That is an opinion that is that once something has been formed around a fact or a proven verifiable thing, piece of information, then it in turn becomes a fact-based article.
Yeah. Apparently I need to reread it again because I was like, no, it's there. If it's opinion, then it's not, they're not doing their job. And then now I see, no, a column, a newspaper column is usually an opinion column, so, but an article is, if they're writing an article and it's their opinion, that's not journalism.
Well, and they usually have to say opinion piece or like opinion column. So you can't present something as fact when it's only your opinion. That's unethical. Yeah. I believe it's an unethical thing. So you can't present as fact. So the shit that's coming out now, and the reason I posted that is because I had a friend who posted this crazy ass article. It was all opinion. It offered, and it was like trying to pass off debunked facts as facts. And she's just feeding right into it. And it's like, oh my gosh, this person finds the best articles and blah, blah, blah. What do you all think? And so I engaged. Silly me. And
you didn't learn from my lessons.
Well, like I said, we're very different people in that manner, though. You wanted to keep your mouth shut, and I'm very glad that you didn't. So, regardless of the person it is, if they're wrong, they're wrong. And sometimes people just need to be told they're wrong. And we need, as a society, to be able to say, oh, I am wrong. And you are allowed to change your opinion. And you are allowed to say, I don't have enough knowledge on this to have an opinion. Let me do some research. I don't know. Those are all acceptable things.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But so she posted this stupid article about something, then asked my opinion, or I was asking opinions, and I was like, cool, let me jump in here. And I was like, it was about like the numbers and, you know, oh, I thought this whole like coronavirus thing was blown out of proportion, and like people are thinking it's a hoax. And I'm like, yeah, global conspiracy. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I had said to her, you know, are there propaganda numbers? Absolutely. Are the numbers inflated? I believe so. Yes. But I'd rather have overinflated numbers than under.
I actually believe that they're underinflated. Like, they're trying not to give us the full numbers, because if we actually had a large scale full number, again, it kind of feeds into the possibility that society would go into chaos. Yeah, there would be more panic. So they're trying to keep the numbers submerged, I would think, but they can only keep so much under wraps before people are like, no, that's not right. So.
Well,
they're getting bigger, but I have a lingering suspicion that they're even bigger than they're supposed
Ultimately, what I told her was, are there propaganda numbers? Yes. Sure. And I'm with you on that. I was like, but to downplay this when there are reports of doctors and nurses committing suicide because they cannot help this many people, they are overwhelmed. I was like, you can't fake that. That's not something, this is not an understated disease. This is not an understated virus by any means. And she comes back with, well, normal people don't commit suicide. Normal people don't kill themselves. And I was like, oh, honey.
Okay. First of all,
hold my beer.
Yeah, right. I was very nice. And I was like, hey, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this because, you know, and anyone and everyone can experience depression, and some people just don't have the coping mechanisms. It happens. A perfectly happy person. I told her normal is a relative term. It doesn't really mean anything. And anyone is susceptible to suicide. Anyone is susceptible to depression. And she just comes back with, I'm very familiar with depression.
I will say this for your
opinions. And I was like, fuck off.
One of the things that I would bring up to a point on what you're talking about is you also have to remember that these doctors who are committing suicide because of this and they just can't cope, they've probably been doctors a while and have seen the worst of the worst, people getting stabbed and shot and mutilated by friends and relatives. I mean, the most heartbreaking stories you can think of, a doctor's probably seen it already. And the fact that this is pushing them over, that says a lot.
Exactly. And someone else jumped into the conversation too, and she didn't engage with this person at all, but I was like this comment. She was talking about, you know, we have to, like, doctors are trained to triage. Cool.
Yes.
But triage on this level, like, you have to look at people and say, you're going to get a respirator, you're not. They are weighing people's value if they're going to live or die. And that is so hard. And these, like, we're finding out more and more. Like, they just added 6 to 8 new symptoms of the coronavirus. We still don't know. That symptom list is still growing. And they're watching people. Yeah, they're watching people gasp for breath that you've said, you're going to die. You can't get a respirator. You can't get the help you need because we're overflown. And that is messing with their heads. And there's a reason people are calling these guys heroes, but some people cannot handle this. And while there's nothing wrong with that, not being able to handle it, but there's not enough support for everyone.
Well, and the simple fact of the matter is as a doctor, yes, sometimes you have to go inform a family that, oh, we lost your loved one. Mm-hmm. You know,
but
and maybe that happens
multiple times a day.
Yeah, and that was going to, that's my point, is maybe they have to do it once a day, once a week or something. But having to do it 4, 5, 6, 10 times a day is going to take a toll.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, yeah, so that prompted my post of opinion pieces are not fact. Because opinions are not facts. I mean,
they're not.
Very simple definitions in the dictionary on fact and opinion.
They're also loosely based upon the facts in which you are privileged to. So in the respect, somebody doesn't just form an opinion out of nothing. They usually get some sort of influx of information. They use it in their own way to state their opinion. So, I mean, everything that we even say on this show, even when we vetted our source, is still technically an opinion. It's based on fact that we are aware of, but at the same time, it's still opinion that only holds a 50% value of fact at its best.
Yeah, and if you're presented with new facts, new ideas, and you say, oh, and then you can shift your opinion, or you can
opinions
your opinion.
Can change,
like,
facts don't.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, my friend, he used to be a reporter, and that, like, cause he came back later and was like, I reread my comments and I sound like a dick. And I've known this guy for many years. And I was like, I know you're not, I was like, don't worry about it. I know you're not a dick. Like, I know you. So I didn't take it personally. I didn't take it that he was trying to fight with me, because he wasn't. And, you know, so I understand him getting a little defensive, but, you know, I'm talking about articles that are coming from non-vetted news media, quote unquote, places that are just putting out blog style crap that have no editor. They're riddled with grammatical errors, riddled with spell check errors, that are just feeding into the echo chamber and the feedback loop.
Yeah.
And it's just creating more and more problems. That's the shit I was talking about. And, yeah, Courtney will always have my back. Oh my gosh, I could be telling someone that the sky is purple and they would be arguing with me. She would jump right in there and be like, "The sky's fucking purple. Are you stupid?" Like, that's the type of friend she is. And we've known each other since we were 7 and 8 years old. So, like, and then afterwards, like, when it's just me and her, she's like, "The sky's blue, asshole. What the fuck are you talking about?"
Don't be dumb.
But like, in, like, she will have my back no matter what.
See, yeah. And again, I feel like we've talked about it before. The idea of having any kind of real open discussion on Facebook is usually a waste of fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's nice to get opinions from your friends. Again, it's one of the reasons why my most recent post was an opinion post. It's like, which one do you guys like most? Because there's absolutely no real factual evidence to back it up. And for me, that's how I use social media. It's like, all right, here's an open-ended question. How do you feel about it?
Well, it wasn't really even an opinion. It was like, hey, I would like to get your opinion on what I should do.
Exactly.
That's more of a choice thing. That's not a thing based on, hey, I heard this fact. What do you think?
See, and those are the type of conversations I just outright avoid on Facebook because, to be quite honest with you, it literally is a waste of time. I don't remember who the first person to say it was, but like having an argument on Facebook is like the world's worst waste of time. It's like,
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost as bad as trying to have an argument with a troll online.
It's almost as bad as Twitter.
Exactly.
Twitter's just a dumping ground of garbage.
I love Quitter. What are you talking about?
Quitter. Well, I saw this in one of these like private groups, Facebook groups I'm in. I saw this one woman post something and she said, hey, so I know people are probably sick of hearing about this, but I'm just the plandemic documentary. Does anyone have any sources that either prove or deny it? I just don't know what to think.
And okay, I'm sorry, but I've been seeing this whole plandemic thing, but I have no idea what it is.
I've not watched it either. I've heard some stuff, but I just haven't watched it for myself yet. But this other woman posts this thing in response to her, like, who has proof and sources? And she's like, people should just have their opinions. We don't need proof and sources of anything. People should just be able to think whatever they want. And I'm just like, you're a fucking idiot. You're part of the problem. Okay, Karen.
Yeah.
You know, this woman, like, her post oozed Karen-ness.
Way to bring up the new internet war.
Right. This woman's post oozed Karen-ness.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things where I understand where they're coming from, and I get it, because honestly, when it comes to any kind of social media, you really, to have factual evidence doesn't actually buy you people's opinions. Like, you could come on there and with factual evidence say, the sky is blue, and somebody comes up there and says, oh, by the way, I'm sorry, the sky is actually black. It's refraction light off of moisture in the air and things like that during daylight hours, which is why we see it. And again, both statements are right, but you're going to have people go, no, the sky is fucking purple. You're retarded.
Well, and she's not, I mean, that woman's not completely wrong. Yes, we all should be able to have our opinions.
Yeah.
However, if you discount facts.
Yeah, she was saying that.
That's a dangerous slope.
No one should fact check each other's opinions.
Yeah, and that's exactly where she's wrong. Because if you just perpetuate opinion with no factual, you know, backing, it's chaos. You might as well just hang yourself. I mean, because you're marching towards the cliff. You know, it's.
By the way, the and views we're of living. James we're, Robinson are not the views of Not Another Podcast. Do not hang yourself for having an opinion.
But hang yourself if those opinions aren't backed with fact.
No. If you cannot handle being challenged,
yeah,
bye-bye. Well, everyone is susceptible to being challenged, including the president.
What I was going to say. We are living in a time where our leader, the person we're supposed to be looking to lead us, is exactly – he's Karen.
He's 100% Karen. Look at that hair.
Fuck real. Karen hairdo.
Someone posted something on Twitter yesterday, and I was reading some of it last night because every now and then I just hate myself enough to read like Trump's Twitter feed, and I read the comments, and you never go into the comments, but I hadn't done that in a while, and I was like, I heard he had been tweeting some like crazy shit, and I was like, let's see. So I was like, oh, fuck. So I was reading some of these comments, and this one guy's like, you know, Trump's responsible for these 80,000 deaths. And this guy below it was like, how? How is Trump responsible for any of this? And I chimed in. I said, have we all forgotten what the job of the president is?
No shit.
Everything within his term, his or her term, everything within the president's term is their fault and their responsibility to deal with, no matter what, just like everyone before him. Obama was handed a disaster and he didn't trash Bush over it. He was very nice about it. Like, there was no article saying, like, Obama's talking shit about Bush. Like, come on, that didn't happen. Because,
well, and remember, too, Trump, from the moment he got in, Trump's agenda has been to undo everything, because he hated Obama, hated him.
He's more jealous so than of him. He wants to be Obama.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's thriving to be better than Obama, and he's
he can't.
Oh yeah. No! He's better than Obama at doing everything horribly. Great, yeah, professional, like, buddy. God, you really nailed it out the park. Fucking
well, and like, we've
just entirely forgotten what the job of the presidency is. And he's a custodian who works for, he's the custodian of the country. Like, they chose the word president back in the day because it was not a term that meant that you were better than anybody else.
Yeah.
It wasn't king, it wasn't dictator, it wasn't monarch, it wasn't anything like that. So they chose a word that was much more pedestrian, so that way they were, so they sounded more with the people. And you're supposed, that the president is supposed to be working for the people and not the other way around. But he wants it the other way around because his perception of the president is
all powerful dictator.
All ultimate power. And people are agreeing with him, and that's fucking insane.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before, but I saw this kind of mirrored in a YouTube thing that I saw, and it's people either don't know or they completely forget that when a new president comes into office, he's either riding the high or the low of the previous president.
Yep.
It takes roughly a term for any policy that a current president puts into play for it to start showing up. So when Trump came into office, he was riding all of Obama's wins.
Yes.
Employment, that was all Obama. Like, all the good stuff that was happening was because of
the
Obama.
The economy is Obama's economy.
But he took credit for it. And every president does, even Obama. Obama came in and he took responsibility for Bush's failings, which was smart.
Yep.
But it painted a target on his back, you know, which he already had. He just made it bigger. But again, he was in term two offices. So all the policies that he put into play during his first term started coming into play in his second term. So his second term, he was riding a lot of wins.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Like, his economic policy, he started in his first term, and we didn't start seeing it until middle end of his final term of his final year. And then Trump got to take it over and claim it as his, even though the economy is has no bearing on how the president is doing.
I don't know if I'd agree with that.
A very little, like, the president doesn't directly affect anything.
But at the very same minimally, time,
very
your
minimally
policies does. Will make things different.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it very minimally, it has that effect. It's up to the people to stimulate but I don't know.
And I will say, too, this president, more than any other, has affected economic policy.
Yeah.
In that he's a rich dude with a lot of rich friends, and he's doing everything he can to make those rich friends richer.
Yep.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is he's affected it in such a negative way because he's done such stupid shit.
Yeah.
Well, and that's another thing I was going to bring up, too. I am thoroughly impressed at this simple fact. Now, James, you brought it up, and I'm just kind of doubling down on it. Normally, with a presidency, it does take at least a term to start seeing kind of the repercussions of the things you do. He has fucked up so badly that before his four-year term is over, all of the repercussions are falling down.
This year we're seeing all of his policy changes coming to fruition. So he actually kind of jumped the gun. So, but whoever the next president is, whether it's him or someone else.
Dude, they are so fucked.
Has it worse than when Obama came in after Bush?
Oh, far, far.
Because remember, when Obama came in, we were in a recession. We were in a bad recession. Mm-hmm. We are now in a depression. The unemployment level is lower than it was in the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm. In fairness, though,
a couple articles I saw over the weekend.
COVID had a lot to do with the recent unemployment numbers.
Yes, but he knew about COVID ahead of time and could have put policies in place that could have prevented it.
Yep. Well, it would have slowed it down. I don't think he could have stopped it, though.
It would have stopped it, but it would not have affected the economy as bad as it is right now.
Here's the thing. Yeah, no one would have ever been able to stop it. Even Obama would never have been able to stop it, but we could have slowed it down. If he had taken precautions when the moment he knew about it, we would be in a much safer spot, and we would be reopening in a much safer way right now.
And also, if he hadn't gotten rid of the pandemic response team, we would have had a lot of stuff. We might not have had to shut down at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we don't know. At this point, we don't know.
But it's also. But I think
there's a good chance there's a solid chance, had the pandemic response team still been together,
I think we'd have shut down sooner.
We might have, but they might have gone to China and prevented travel. They would have slowed the spread of it so bad. Because look at the COVID is bad, but we've had other potential pandemics. We've had swine flu. We've had bird flu. We've had all these different
things that
could have been pandemics.
Again, it's one of those things where, don't get me wrong, I understand where you're coming from. But none of those viruses that broke out are anything like this creature. This is something we have never seen before. And it's one of the reasons why it's taken over globally like it has, is because we had never seen anything like this before. I mean, for fuck's sake, when the plague hit, that was the worst thing we'd ever seen. Now, here's the deal. If the plague ever tried to resurge, we'd have it neutralized. It still shows up once in a while, but it never takes over like it did, because we know better. We know the virus. We know how it works. We have countermeasures against it. We can catch it in time. We have testing for it. All these things we have already prepared for, something that used to wipe out 3/4 of the world. But with this one, not only is it changing rapidly and we don't fully understand it, but the way that it travels and at the speed that it travels, you couldn't have stopped it. You would have slowed it down. And again, had we had the response team in still functioning, the likelihood is, if I was to hazard my bet, and this is only based on what very little knowledge I have of how they operate, I would have said we would have shut down about a month earlier, and it would have gone to full lockdown a hell of a lot sooner, to the point where they wouldn't be able to go out and protest and continue to perpetuate these numbers constantly. It would be...
See, I feel, though, like I get what you're saying, but I feel like had we had the teams in place.
Right.
And we had a more competent leader.
Yeah.
Money would have been diverted sooner for supplies, masks, especially testing, ventilators, if they thought that was going to be as in such a high need. But they also would have been able to say, look, we know this is where it originated. If we can isolate it there, we can slow the spread.
And that's the big issue that we have with this whole problem in and of itself. Where it started, I don't think China was really aware of what was actually happening until it was almost too late. And by then, the air traffic alone had already sent it across the world. Because again, 14 days is a long time to catch something, not know you have it, and go home, and now everybody you know now gets it. Sorry, battery's going to die. But again, you know now has it. It's a normal pandemic kind of spread. It's just like what you and I had talked about when we theorized, you know, zombie apocalypse and how a virus would need to spread in order to become a global catastrophe. COVID-19 literally took a page out of our book. And it is doing exactly what we talked about. And it had done that before anybody could really catch it. Because you got to remember, when people in super dense populations, when you have your super, super lower class, which are damn near homeless, nobody pays attention when they get sick. They don't bat an eye and they don't notice it when they walk by them and dude's coughing out loud as hard as he can. It's like, oh man, that dude's sick. The problem is he just now spread that shit to every person who passed down that street for the last 2 minutes. And every single person who caught it and perpetuated it further and further and further. And by the time they started noticing bodies piling up, they were like, oh shit, maybe this is a problem. But by then it was already way too late. The virus had already moved.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I am fully aware that by the time it was starting to make news, it was already cross borders.
Oh, it was coming.
Back in November when it started making the news, it had already hit the U.S. shores.
No one's saying anyone could have stopped it. Like, that's not at all what any of us are saying. Right. We could have done better. We did not need to have this many deaths. We did not need to have this many people hospitalized. It did not need to go this far.
All I'm really saying here is that had certain things been put in place or left in place, that it would not be as bad as it is.
Yep. And his whole argument of, well,
yes, we see your mask. It's beautiful.
Yeah, my wife just made shells. This for me.
the audience can't see. And see, that's the other thing, Samantha, you hit on that. If we had had proper stuff in place, people would not have panicked. And again, this is completely why you should not get your news from social media. And the regular media needs to be a bit more careful, because the reason we had the toilet paper shortage, and I checked this. This is crazy. So Australia gets its toilet paper from China. Don't ask me why, but that's where they get it from.
Why?
So the story came out that Australia was worried about a toilet paper shortage because they get their toilet paper from China. China started going into lockdown. So it hit the world news stage, and then it hit social media, and it wasn't Australia is worried about a toilet paper shortage. It was just, there could be a toilet paper shortage. So everyone went out and bought up all the toilet paper, and then they bought up all the hand sanitizer because that was like, oh yeah, sanitize everything.
Well, yeah, that one made perfect sense. And don't get me wrong, the toilet paper thing...
It made sense, but it's like, dude, you don't need to hoard it.
Well, no, and that's the thing.
But a lot of people were like, I'm going to buy it up and then take advantage.
Well, I think on top of that, though, it's a little less conniving than that, in the respects that when this first started coming down the wire and we had heard that China was going on lockdown and they basically were like, for an unbeknownst amount of time, people not only hoarded toilet paper, but they hoarded everything else. I mean, for fuck's sake, the toilet paper aisle definitely was decimated beyond reason. But a lot of the other aisles were too, the canned goods, the stuff like that. People stocking up and storing up just in case it goes into full lockdown. They didn't want to be without. Now, I get that aspect. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure you're absolutely right for the majority of the people who did that to hoard and take advantage. But at the same time, I know that there were folks such as myself who were like, shit, we got to stock up on our canned goods just in case this goes sour. Because now, granted, we didn't buy 6 months worth of canned goods, but we bought at least 3 weeks, you know, and we're like, you know what, that should hold us over. Well, that'll be okay. And if we get through that, we'll go get some more if need be, if we can. If not, we'll figure something else out.
But, well, and I get that.
But the news did not perpetuate a canned goods shortage. It perpetuated a toilet paper shortage.
Yeah,
I know. Well, in and all fairness, also, when you take 6 cans off of the shelf of any food, the shelf still looks very full. You take 6 giant packs of toilet paper off the shelf looks fucking empty.
Yeah, but when you're going in day after day and there's no toilet paper on the shelf, because most stores will restock overnight, they'll fill the shelves, or they'll do it during the day. The store right across from me had no toilet paper for 3 weeks. And anytime they got some in, they wouldn't even put it on the shelf. They'd bring a pallet out and it was decimated in minutes.
Yeah. Did you guys see the video with the pallet of toilet paper that came out and someone overlaid the zombie noises over it? It was fucking hilarious. That's funny. Awesome. Oh my gosh.
I'm going to grab my first table.
Well, one thing that the news media could have, like you're saying, it wasn't malicious for the toilet paper. And I get that. But one thing that I don't think is malicious, but they could be more careful about is giving screen time and giving so much national attention to the protesters, because the protesters only make up at maximum 14%. They make up a very, very little percentage of each state. And the media has blown this out. So it makes it look like states are like 50%, you know, like against each other when it's really only a small percentage.
Yeah.
This is my big problem I have with the protesters in general. And now don't get me wrong. I think what they're doing is asinine, but one of the issues that comes up is exactly what we were talking about. If 14% of your state's population is standing outside, they're potentially perpetuating the virus within themselves, which means they go home to their families, they're perpetuating it to their families. Well, some of them might be essential workers, some might not. And again, the problem is just the exponential distribution of a potential viral outbreak. It's like if you guys don't protest and you don't go into large areas, you don't go into tight, massed groups of people, the likelihood is that you probably won't catch it.
And I think that I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, that it's only 14% countrywide, which means each state's percentage is even smaller.
True. And don't get me wrong, but at the same time,
they're still compiling. No, they're still causing more problems, but
exactly. The
issue is growing and people are like, the media is giving them more power than they should be having.
Well, in fairness, as far as I understand, we have completely surpassed every other country in the world for confirmed cases by an order of magnitude. So, I mean, that in and of itself should tell you something. It's like, we're really fucking this up, bud.
Well, Trump is saying that we're number one in testing, but he doesn't understand the definition of per capita. Because that's how they measure it, is per capita. And per capita, we're 43rd. We're in the mid-40s. We are not the best, and we are not doing great. And right now, he's starting to talk about, well, I don't think tests are important. Why are they needed? When Bryce just sent us that article, I'm using 11? My phone for this, so I can't look.
How many 11 are confirmed, but 60 of them under self-quarantine.
Yeah, so he has people within his realm that are testing positive for it, and he's now making everyone around him wear masks, but he won't wear one because, God forbid.
That's okay. I'm okay with him not wearing a mask.
He's ruling by optics and not by intelligence. So, if it looks good for him, he's going to do it that way, no matter the consequences.
And
if
his
it would look so bad for him to start wearing a mask. It would look so bad for Pence to start wearing a mask, because that means that his dick sucking Trumpers, which
are wrong.
There's nothing wrong with sucking dick, but I just mean like his orange dick. You know, there's nothing wrong.
Isolating that.
Nothing wrong with sucking dick.
Well, I don't want someone to be like, this podcast is homophobic, because we're not. But his ass-kissing supporters that think he can do no wrong, that treat him like he's the autocrat he wants to be, that treat him like the king and monarch he wants to be, they would turn on him in an instant. They would be so pissed. So he's not going to do it, because his base, it would piss them off.
Yeah, well, he needs his base, and his base, unfortunately, is growing smaller every day. Can we go back to the protesters really quick? Because I want to make a point. I understand why they are protesting.
Yeah.
I would hazard a guess, and I think I would be close to right on this, that the people who are out there protesting are people who've lost their jobs. They're people who they've got no income coming in, And, yep. and supposedly they're supposed to be like, if you're getting unemployment, you're supposed to get like a $600 credit with the, I'm not sure how that works. So I don't want to misquote it, but, they're not getting it. They're promised it, but they're not getting it. So these are people who are close to, you know, they can't feed their families. They can't support themselves and stuff. So I get it. I understand. And I feel for you. But yes, Samantha, you have your hand raised. I like this new Zoom because now I can see you.
I agree.
I'm going to be sad when they start charging us.
Oh, God. I agree to it. That's why we need more patrons. I agree to a point. I will push back with this, though. A lot of the protesters are anti-government supporters. So whether they have
until they're getting the check.
Right. Exactly. We don't like socialism, but give me that Trump signed check because I want to lick it to get his Sharpie marker hand all over me. So I would push back a little bit. I agree with you to a point, but I would push back with a lot of them are heavy Trump supporters that know nothing about the Constitution because they keep saying this is against our constitutional rights. I guarantee
you. I am in full agreement with you on that. I'm not saying they are the best of the best. I am just saying that these are angry people.
A lot of the right has been utilizing and weaponizing people's ignorance of the government to get them on their side.
You just wait, Danny. She's not done.
I know. I'm waiting patiently.
Senator yield?
I will say both of your guys' assessments are correct, and I wouldn't argue that. Now, here's the counterpoint that I would offer to anybody who's feeling that kind of stress. Two things. One, there was an analogy that was brought up to me, and I saw it because Neil deGrasse Tyson posted it. But a person in a parachute falling to the earth, they're like, well, this slowed my fall. I guess I can take this off now.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty funny.
Perfect analogy for this. Now, the second part of it, though, is it's like, don't get me wrong. I understand the frustration. I know the irritation. Yeah. For fuck's sake, I'm not getting any unemployment right now either. I've done my filing. I've done all that. But I haven't gotten into the system enough to where they're actually getting me, you know, my unemployment. Yeah. So I feel it. I totally do. But at the same time, when you go out to protest against this, you have to remember that there is a fairly good possibility that you're arguing about feeding your family who may not make it through this because you protested.
Yeah, exactly.
And you need to keep that in mind because at this rate, I understand people get cooped up. They don't like being home all the time. They don't like being told to be home all the time. I get it. I totally do. But you have to understand that this isn't just a U.S. thing. This isn't a statewide thing. This isn't a North America thing. This is a global problem. And because of that, you have to take a step back and be more retrospective and say, okay, am I doing this for myself or am I doing this to try to make sure that we do flatten this curve? We do get to a point where the infection rate gets low enough to where we can study it safely without constantly allowing this virus to evolve through contact. And that's the nature of the virus. It will evolve. Every person it touches, it evolves. And I even heard recently that it's starting to blood clot people.
Yeah,
and people in the younger demographic were getting blood clots and showing the normal symptoms, but we're also showing different symptoms. So they're giving us blood thinners. And when we do that, the virus clicks on its heels, and now the blood is so thin that people are bleeding internally, and they can't keep up with it. So it's one of those things where, guys, you got to understand this isn't a respiratory problem alone. This isn't just a flu. This is heart attacks. This is massive strokes and things like that that are coming down on these people who catch this virus because it keeps changing. And the more exposure we have to one another, the higher likelihood it is we're never going to catch up to it.
Yep.
You know, I know that people in the beginning were saying, well, it's just like the flu virus. And it's like, don't get me wrong, it is not a flu. Mm-hmm. But it acts like point.
Yeah.
There's a reason we haven't abolished the flu. And that's the kicker. We have not had the ability to stop it enough to learn it, eradicate it before it evolves. And if we don't do that, it will never go away. It'll only get stronger, and eventually it will do what it's made to do and consume. That's all.
I have a theory that kind
of soapbox over.
this kind of occurred to me like 2 weeks ago, and with all this new information about how it's evolving and everything, I'm becoming more and more convinced that my theory could be correct. This is going to be dark. This is all opinion. I'm just going to state that out right now. But it's my theory that COVID is nature putting the human race back into balance. We have reached a tipping point with our population growth and everything that, and because this virus is evolving so rapidly before we can get it, I feel like it really is nature going, okay, humanity,
check yourself.
The only way to get you back into balance is to wipe out your population. And I'm sorry, because I know people are losing loved ones and that sucks. But at the same time, if humanity as a whole is going to move forward, this planet is only so big.
And we have to start working
it. We are absolutely killing it.
Yep.
And it's already, I've already seen news articles and stuff that, you know, in Venice, when they went into lockdown, like after 2 weeks, the canals became super clear.
Yep.
And dolphins started coming back into the canals. Freaking yeah. Dolphins.
And that's not the only place that's happening.
We're seeing reports about air getting clearer and cleaner in different areas. I mean, it's like,
I'm sorry, but it's a self-cleaning oven, dude.
It really is. It's nature going, enough.
This just reminds me of our ranting episode on climate change. And when we were talking about zombie apocalypses and stuff like that, I'm just like, we should re-listen to that episode and like react to ourselves and listen to it.
Because shit, right?
We joked about humans are parasites. We joked about the earth just needs to shake us off. People have been saying this shit for years. And
nature's going, you know, those podcasters, they had a point.
They have a good idea.
It's fucking like the earth is fucking doing it, and you cannot beat Mother Nature no matter how much Trump tries.
No,
he's never going to. You cannot beat Mother Nature. She's going to do what she's going to do, and she will win.
Yeah, and everyone said, sorry, Dan, let me make this point really quick. This is not an extinction level event.
No,
but it is definitely a thinning of the herd.
It could be a precursor to an extinction event if we change our ways after this, if we don't learn from this. We are on our way to an extinction level event.
Here's my follow-up point to this. So we're kind of at a pinch point because we got COVID-19 constantly doing the rounds on us, which will start really thinning the numbers down pretty existentially or whatever. Exponentially. There we go. But on top of that, now we also have, the gold blooms. The thing about what I've seen is just like what you were saying, James, with the dolphins coming back to Venice and the channels clearing, nature is doing its due diligence to try to come back. That also means murder hornets.
Yeah, it does.
Now here's the kicker. We got nature in a bug form. Sorry, a bug form.
Bigger.
Yeah. Which is literally doing its best to systematically wipe out one of our biggest pollinators, which is bees, which we had already done a damn good job of, you know, thinning their numbers over the past fucking century. And so it's one of those things where we got nature coming back and the alphas of nature are starting to show up. And we're getting to a point where I think COVID is what's going to put us back a peg and allow nature to step up to the game. Because, again, murder hornets are pretty fucking bad for people, too.
Well, and remember, as we discussed yesterday, next month, we know the next level of this plague coming.
Sodomy
that
Geese?
That is Sodomy Geese.
What?
Which, by the way, is the name of this episode.
I was not privy to this conversation.
But no, it's one of those things I've noticed, though. It's like, here's the way that it pans out in my head. We all drop the lockdown. We go back to our normal existence, and COVID starts fucking killing us off really fast. So then we go back into hiding and basically recluse ourselves once again and lock ourselves out of the world the best we possibly can, which allow things like, and I'm only using them as an example because they're kind of relevant now, but like murder hornets to come in and fuck up our shit even further without our interaction because we can't go out anymore. So it's basically we're at a pinch point. We got two enemies fighting on two fronts that are basically putting us in our place, and people are still like, no, it's nothing. It's like, dude.
You know, I think everyone's call to go back to normal. I think it would be really naive and really stupid of us to just completely just drop everything we've learned and go back to normal. You know, that's, again, that's, if we don't learn from this, we're going to be on our way to extinction level events. We have to learn from this and we have to take things into consideration. They're talking about we're going to be wearing masks for the next 18 months. I've ordered so many masks. Like Ryan has a group of them. I've got more on the way. Like, get your masks, wear them. It's to protect us and other people. It would be really, really naive and self-centered and just the level of arrogance that people are having.
Yep.
No, you need to learn and you need to move forward. If you don't learn from this, to steal a quote from a loved one, breathe deep, motherfucker.
Serious.
As cold, I mean, callous,
yeah, no,
as cold and callous as that sounds, it's a lot warmer than you putting everyone else's life in danger because you don't feel like wearing a mask.
Well, and on top of that, too, we're also at a point where, just like what you said, we need to learn from this. Now, to me, what that means when I even say it to other people, it's like, yes, we have to learn something from this. We also need to learn that we really, truly are all in this together.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what your monetary wealth is. It doesn't matter what your position of power is or how poor you are. If the poor people still catch this fucking thing, guess what? The likelihood is the rich people are going to get it too. Yep. This removes all stigmas of what race, creed, and monetary position really make us, because when it comes right down to it, we're all susceptible to this. We are all in this together, and we need to learn that too. If working together on a global scale, we will lose.
I wish more senators would believe that, because there was a right-wing senator that I just read about today, just before we started this, who was caught saying poor people don't deserve health care because they made bad life choices.
And with that, we're going to call this one an end, because
ridiculous.
Well, my only hope is throughout all this horse shit, all those asshats who feel that way so strongly, and I don't usually wish ill upon other people out of just sheer principle, unless I'm joking about it.
Yeah.
But I'm cool with this self-cleaning oven just burning their fucking lives to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
We can
hope.
Hashtag
sorry, not sorry.
So, if you've enjoyed this show or you've hated it, or either way, you can help us out. We have a Patreon page, and if you help us out, we will thank you like we thank Drew.
Because he's a bad motherfucker.
He's our only patron.
You know what?
For
it's
now. One.
It's better
for
than
now.
None. For now. For check now. Us out. You can find us at Not Another Patreon. You also can follow us on Facebook. Samantha does a real good job of dropping knowledge on you every so often.
Boosh!
I'm not calling you out.
I need to get back on schedule.
you have other things to worry about.
I will also say in closing, though, to anybody listening this, take care of yourself, take care of others.
Yep. Please.
Be aware, please.
Stay safe. 100% stay safe. And we'll all talk to you next week when we have a fabulous television star. Ah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.